Hey, good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night, and it's time for Wednesday night Bible study. I want to start by once again letting each and every one of you know how much I truly and deeply love you. I appreciate your words of encouragement, your uplifting letters and notes and text messages. And of course, also, I am so grateful and thankful for those of you who financially support the ministry. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I truly love each and every one of you. And so tonight, we're going to be continuing, you know, as we frequently do on Wednesday night, with some additional thoughts from Sunday's message. Lori told me, you know, Len, keep messages to 30 minutes on Sundays, you know, Wednesday nights. Take a little bit more time, but keep it to 30 minutes because I don't know where she came up with this. She said, the mind can't handle what the seat, your butt, can't endure. So keep it short, keep it simple. And I remember that the other acronym that we were, you know, taught in school, Bible college, way back, KISS, keep it short and simple. So I don't elaborate on things the way I really would like to on Sunday mornings. And I've had people, they know who they are, they're listening, say, you know what, Len, You just share too much. It's just there's too many scriptures. It's just too much. It's too much. It's too much. So we're trying to keep things a little bit more simple because it might make it easier to retain. And that's what we want. We want everyone to be able to retain truths that we go over, important truths, powerful truths. So Sunday we were talking about, again, eating from the tree of life. Eating from the tree of life. See, from the very beginning, in the middle of the garden, you know, was that tree of life. And Adam was told, you feed on this. Feed on this as much as you want. Feed on this often. Feed on this. Feed on this. The tree of life. And of course, he wasn't supposed to feed off of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so many times nowadays people are feeding off that tree, and they're trying to, you know, what's good, what's not good, what's bad, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, is kind of equated to like law keeping or religion, you know, where you learn what's good, what's bad, you try to do what's good, it's up to you. See, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is up to you. See, that's why, think about it, that's why you weren't supposed to eat off that tree. That's why we're not supposed to eat off that tree. We're not supposed to eat off the tree and feed off thoughts and ideas and messages and philosophies that make it about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that make it about what we have to do, what we need to do. That's why you weren't supposed to feed off of it. Because the only way you could attain righteousness, the righteousness of God, the only way you could attain proper standing with God, the only way you could attain peace with God, the only way you could attain that everlasting life that we were intended to have from the very beginning is to know you can't do it. You can't achieve it. You can't earn it. Stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where it becomes up to you and by you and what you need to do. That's what the law was. The law was that do good, get good, do bad, get bad. The law was up to us. And that's why Jesus came to put it away, to do away with it. Because God is a God of love. God is a God of blessing. And he says this, and he points this out in Hebrews chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 10. I encourage you to read. The book of Hebrews is amazing, especially chapter 8 and chapter 10. And in those chapters, it plainly says that this covenant of do good, get bad, you know, that the offering system, the sacrificial system that can only cover sin, it plainly says, believe it. You can believe it. It says it in the Word of God. I did not want that. It doesn't bring pleasure to me. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to put it away. And now Jesus is that tree of life. We're only supposed to be feeding off the tree of life. We're only supposed to be feeding off of Jesus. And we know how Jesus had referred to himself as, you know, the bread of life, the living water, the manna from heaven, the light of the world. In him was life. In him is life. Feeding off the tree of life depicts you and I eating, feeding from Jesus. And how do we do that? How do we do that? We're supposed to look at Jesus. We're supposed to look at the Bible and particularly and specifically on Jesus. And understand that as we view Jesus and as we see Jesus, we see the character of Jesus, we see the nature of Jesus, we're looking at our character, we're looking at our nature. Now, how do I know that? We went over the scriptures, but this is a power verse. John chapter 1, verse 12. For as many as received him, to them God gave the power, the right, the power and the right, the ability and the privilege to be his children, who were born not of the flesh nor of the will of man. See, this is a spiritual rebirth, being born again, but who were born from God, who were born from above. And that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 is so powerful. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things new have come. What is that new? That's that new life. That's that newly created life. That's where we get our new creation realities from. And a lot of people may be familiar with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. But if you were to ask them what verse 16 tells us, many of them wouldn't know. And it's important to know the context. And in the context, verse 16 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians tells us, for now God knows no man after the flesh anymore. So in other words, think about it. This is Bible study, right? John chapter 1, verse 12, for as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the right, the ability, the authority to become his child, right? For to those who believe in him. Now, verse 13 of chapter 1 of John, who were born not of the will of man, who were born not of the flesh, but who were born of God. Born of God. Born of the Spirit. Born of God. So now when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, it tells us we're not known after the flesh anymore. What is that telling us? Go back to John chapter 1 verse 13. Not born of the flesh, nor not born of the will of man. Okay? God does not know that person anymore. He does not know the old man. He does not know the old creation. Do you see how powerful the Word of God is? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. He knows no man after the flesh anymore. Why? Any man is in Christ, he's new creation. John chapter 1, verse 13. Please follow this along. Not born of man, not born of the will of man, not born of flesh, born of God. That's what the Father knows and that's what the Father sees. Period. And another power verse, Romans chapter 8, well, two verses, verse 29 and verse 30. Verse 29 tells us, because of his knowing in advance, because of his foreknowledge. God sees the beginning from the end. Because of his foreknowledge, he determined, right, that we would be formed when? At born again, at born from above, into the exact image, duplicate copy of his son, Jesus Christ, the firstborn amongst many brethren. That's what happened at born again, at born from above. We were formed into the exact image and likeness, duplicate copy of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. God knows no man after the flesh or after the will of man anymore. He does not know us after the old man with the old nature. Behold, all things new have come. He only knows us after the new. So go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Verse 29 tells us, for whom God called, he justified. Justified. Diakonos in the Greek. That's made us as if sin never existed. Why? Because we're born again. We're born new. And this born again new you and me is the only you and me that God knows. So for whom God called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. This is amazing. This is the power of the scriptures. This is the power of new life in Christ. This is new creation realities. This is what if I would have known this in 1977, 1978, when I first came to know the Lord, when he first called me, okay? And if I would have been taught these truths, these new creation realities, you know, throne room realities, the truth of who we are and who we're formed unto, exactly alike, duplicate copy, who we are. It's the only you and me who God sees, only you and me who God sees. Now, it's amazing because God called me and I answered the call and, you know, I went up to the altar like most people do and I wept and I cried and, you know, typical, right? It's typical. From that moment on, for the next 35 years of my life, I tried to. There was a striving. There was an attempt, a feeble attempt, a working at becoming, or at least moving towards what I already was in Christ. What you already are in Christ. But for 30 years, 35 years, it was a striving. And I felt like a hamster on his spinning wheel. You ever see a hamster in a hamster cage? He gets on that wheel and he's going. The wheel is turning. He's never getting anywhere. And he gets off of it. Doesn't get anywhere. He just gets tired out, you know, depressed. Why? Because with all that getting back on the wheel and spinning and going, and no matter how hard he tries, no matter how fast he goes and he gets off, he's none the better for it. He's none the better. We can't, but we strive. And Lord, you know, I mean, Lord knows for 30 years, 35 years, I was told, you're just a sinner. We're just sinners saved by grace. That's all. We're just sinners. You were a sinner. You're still. No. That's not what the Pauline epistles is all about. That's not what this gospel of grace is all about. So could you imagine being trained in our souls, being raised in our souls to the truths of who we really are, what God really knows us to be? Paul prays in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to be known as we are known, to be known as we are known. One day we will know as we have been known. Now we see through a window, you know, dimly, darkly, Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully how I've been fully known. That's what it's about. It's about knowing fully what God already fully knows about us. And that comes from soul transformation. So could you imagine if we were taught the true realities of the gospel, that from the very beginning at born again, your starting point, my starting point, was what I tried to attain, work towards, move towards for 35 years. And I could never get there. I could never get there. Like the hamster on the wheel. But to imagine, to know that from the very beginning, this is your starting point. You are perfect. You are holy. You are righteous. You have been glorified. You have been sanctified. You have been made righteous with the righteousness of God. That's who you are. Now, from that point, training this soul, this mind, into those realities. Believing right. Believing right always causes you to live right. Believing wrong will not cause you to believe right. Believing wrong will cause you to strive and to work and to do and to try to attain, to try to be, and you'll always fall short because it's on you. It's dependent upon you. It was dependent upon me and not on God. When I started to believe in my soul who I already was, what I already was, what I already had, transformation took place. And think about it. That's what the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to this religious age. Don't be conformed to just, you know, all the other, you know, so-called believers and so-called children of God who are still on that wheel, on that treadmill where they keep going and going and going and going and going and they're not getting anywhere, okay? They just tire themselves out. You know, they get disgusted and they get frustrated. They get off it. They avoid God. They run from God. They hide from God until one day, you know, they feel motivated enough to get back on the treadmill or to get back in the wheel. Only to start to cycle over and over and over again. No, to believe right is to live right. You believe right, you will live right. The believing comes first. And that's why Paul says, don't be conformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed to this religious age. It says, don't be conformed to the world in many of our Bibles. But the word is not cosmos there. Cosmos means this world. This world. The world and its occupants. Okay? So it's not talking about that. The word there is ion. It's age. And the age that Paul was talking about was the age of legalism, the age of the law, the religious system that people were familiar with. So he's saying, don't be conformed to that system that most people are familiar with, but be transformed. And we talked about that word transformed. It's metamorpho. It's metamorphosized. Metamorphosized. It's we were caterpillars and we crawled into the cocoon. Right? And then all of a sudden we broke through the cocoon. That was Resurrection Sunday. That was when Jesus was raised from the dead. We were raised with him. Boom, out of the cocoon, a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly, signifies newness of life. Paul is saying, don't be conformed to this present religious system and age, legalism and law and religion, but be transformed, be metamorphosized. How? By the renewing of your mind. The truths of what happened at born again, at born anew. The truths of who you are and what you have and what you can do. I hope this is blessing you because it's blessing me as I share it because I need to go over these truths over and over and over and over again. Over again. You know, Ephesians, it says, you know, while we were yet sinners, right? God co-quickened us. While we were yet sinners, we climbed into the cocoon. And then God co-quickened us, born again, and at born again, co-quickened us and raised us up together with Christ. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Beautiful. And seated us with him in the heavenlies, right with Jesus, seated with him, right at the right hand of the Father. That's our resting place right now. That's our starting point at born again. And that's why when you look at Colossians chapter 3, look at the first few verses, but especially verses 1, 2, and 3. But Colossians, it tells us, therefore, if we have been raised with Christ, let us look for, or look out onto, or look up to, or seek things above. That's where we sit. That's where we dwell. That's where we're seated. That's our starting point at born again. That's powerful. That's powerful. So now, eating from the tree of life is seeing that it's God determined at born again, you would be fashioned to be just like Jesus Christ. So that's why if you see Jesus, you're seeing yourself. Now, how do I know that? You need to know this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, because it talks about our looking into a mirror and beholding the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. And the more we look at that mirror, the more from glory to glory that will be revealed. The word changed is in there, metamorphosed. The more we come to the mirror and view the image of the mirror, the glory of the Lord, the more, right, from glory to glory, we are transformed, changed into that image by the Holy Spirit. So the more we behold, the more we see, and the more we believe, the more Holy Spirit will make this reality come to be. The more we see and the more we believe, the more the Holy Spirit will make it come to be. His work, not ours. That's a great verse to remember. Now, another verse to remember is 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. For 35 years, listen, I'll be honest with you. For 35 years, I never heard in the circle of ministers, preachers, churches, whatever, that I had been affiliated with, I can never remember this, hearing this verse or being taught about this verse. Never. How dare you even begin to think that 1 John 4:17 would apply to you? That's what the religious mindset, most of religions' mindsets would say. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 tells us, here's love perfected. Think about this. Here is love perfected. Whose love? God's love. God's love for you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. John 17:23. Father, that they would know you love them as much as you love me. In Ephesians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 18, 19. All right, that we would come to know the height, the depth, the width, the breadth, the length of his love for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, here is love. Not that we love God, but that he loves us. So here's love perfected. Whose love? God's love for us, perfected. And because of God's love for us, and it's perfected in us, we have boldness to stand before him at the judgment. What a beautiful verse. Why? Because as Jesus is, so are you. And it doesn't say in heaven someday. It says, for as Jesus is, so are you in this world. Right here, right now. This is powerful. This is powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful scriptures. Power scriptures. It's so important to know the word of God. And so we realize that to eat from the tree of life is to take the words that were spoken about and over Jesus, and to take them for ourselves and speak them over ourselves. And I asked everybody this question. Very important question I asked everybody on Sunday. And if you missed Sunday, you need to go back because you can understand, you know, more about this study, you know, after listening to Sunday morning's message. And it's on Facebook videos, or you can ask me and I can send you the podcast. So I asked the question, which came first? Which came first? And this is an important question for you to realize and ask and understand and know the answer to. Because so many people believe the hamster on the wheel, right? Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they have to do, and they have to work to become before God can do and God can bless. That's the trap of religion. That's the trap of the wrong covenant. That's the trap of not believing correctly. That's the trap of not knowing new creation realities. Who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you could do because of Christ. So, I want to ask this question. Which came first? What came first? Jesus doing what pleased the Father? Or the Father proclaiming that Jesus pleased him? It's very important to know what came first. It's very important to know. Now, we know Jesus always pleased the Father because he was led by the Spirit. And when you understand you're led by the Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead because you're a true son and daughter of God, you're a true child of God. And any son of God or daughter of God is led by the Spirit. So the Spirit is always going to lead you to pleasing the Father, to pleasing God. That's a given. So understand you're led by the Spirit. But just like Jesus was led by the Spirit. But what came first? Jesus doing what pleased the Father, or the Father proclaiming that the Son pleased him? What came first was the Father proclaiming before Jesus started any earthly ministry, before Jesus was led by the Spirit into any earthly ministry, the Father proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I am well pleased," period. Period. Why? When you look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Jesus was the express image of the Father. So it pleased the Father because right from the beginning, the very beginning, his Son was the express image of himself. Now we know from Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we are the duplicate, exact image and copy of Jesus. So what does that make us? If Jesus is the express image of the Father, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and we're the express image of Jesus, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that means we're the express image of the Father. Isn't that so exciting? That's exciting. And so, before Jesus started, before that wedding of Cana, where his mom said, "Son, they've run out of wine." And he said, what am I to do about it? My time hasn't come yet. But then Mary said, "Hey, listen, whatever he tells you to do, you do." And it launched him. So that was his first miracle. So before that, before the Holy Spirit led him and moved upon him, and before his ministry, the Father said, "This is my Son, and I am well pleased in him." How do we know that? Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That's the voice you hear from God at born again, at born anew. That's your starting point. That's your traveling point. That's your consistent, dwelling point. That's your end point. You are God's beloved son and daughter in whom he is well pleased, period. And so what does that allow us to do? Boldly come before his presence 24/7, 365 days a year. Boldly come, never run away, never hide, never stray, thinking that God is gonna get us. God has taken a video recording of all our wrongdoings. No. I'm gonna leave you with one more thought because we're approaching 30 minutes. In spite of the fact that I preached this, I found myself the next morning questioning it. Do you really have the same view and opinion of me, Father, that you have of Jesus? I can't believe I'm the one preaching this. I'm the one that knows these scriptures. I speak them, I have them memorized, their power in my life. But you know what? That unrenewed part of my soul was still questioning it. So I questioned the very next morning, God, is the opinion that you have of me, Father, right now and always the same view and opinion you have of Jesus? Right now and always the same view and opinion you have of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit started speaking to my spirit. And my spirit started speaking to my soul to have my soul, you know, to continue the renewal process, to be fixed in the renewal process, to be grounded in the renewal process. Holy Spirit started speaking to my spirit started speaking to my soul. And this is what my soul started telling me through the Spirit. Jesus, what you were makes me I am. Jesus, what you are makes me I am. Spirit started speaking to my soul. I am Jesus because you are. As he is, so am I in this world. And Jesus, I am because you are. I'm going to leave you with that. Meditate on that. Think about that. Think about the truth of the reality of that. And we know that because of John chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13. We know that because of John chapter 17, verse 22. We know it because of Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. We know it because of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We know it because of Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. We know it because of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. If you don't know those verses, I encourage you to look them up, you know, and meditate on them in your soul, and it will bring about the transformation that Paul talks about from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is Pastor Lenny saying, I love you. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday night. I really hope you were blessed. And if you were, then let me know. You know, send me an instant message. You know, text me, email me, PastorLenny@nlcny.com. Let me know you are blessed. You're a blessing to me. I appreciate and love each and every one of you. See you Thursday morning.